Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
O Lord my God, thou searchest me. My heart and mind are known to thee. Nothing is hidden from thy eyes. When I sit down and when I rise, and from afar thou art discerning my thoughts and hopes, my secret yearning.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance family for the readings of the day and the saints of the day. Great to be with you. And as always, we like to start off our family conversation by invoking Mary to be with us. Mary, indeed, is the Mother of God, her greatest title. Mary is also known as the Mother of the Church. Mary is also the Mother of each and every one of us. And in the prayer of the Hail, Holy Queen, we invoke Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's lift up our minds, our hearts to Mary, the Mother of God, asking Mary to be with us, to walk with us, to guide us, to pray for us, to inspire us by her example and powerful prayers. As we say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's invite our spiritual director to be with us. Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit, also known as the Paraclete. The Catechism of the Catholic Church, the Catechism of the Catholic Church says that the Holy Spirit is the gift of gifts. This gift of gifts that we should beg for every day. He's also known as the sweet guest of our souls. He's also known as the counselor who gives us good advice. He's also known as the consoler who encourages us in the moments of desolation. The Holy Spirit is also known as the interior master. When we say interior master, we refer to what St. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, that we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba, Father. So that we can pray well, we want to turn to the Holy Spirit, trusting in His powerful presence in our lives. So let's offer our traditional prayer of the Holy Spirit that His presence will bless us this day and all the days of our lives. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lady Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Faustina, pray for us. Saint Joachim, pray for us. Saint Anne, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we welcome you to our Perseverance family conversation. And as is our custom, I'd like to encourage you by prayers that I will pray for you today. And what is the Opus Dei? The Opus Dei means the work of God. This work of God, my friends, is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. I'd like to pray and place all of you on the altar. And I'd like to offer three intentions for you. First intention I'd like to offer would be for your families. For your families. But even before that, I'd like to pray for your own personal sanctification. That all of us today would try to become the saints that God wants us to become. The universal call to holiness. All of us are called to become saints. As the Lord says, be holy as your heavenly Father is holy. We know that mortal enemy number one is that of sin. Let's pray that we would keep away from sin. Every time we say no to a temptation, we're saying yes to the love of God. So let's work on our vocation to become holy, as our Heavenly Father is holy. Then I would like to pray for your families, for your children and teenagers. For most, these are the vacation weeks, July and at least the first part of August. These vacation weeks might not be vacation for you. But I'd like to pray for your family, for your children. Maybe you can bring your children to Mass at least a couple of times during the week, so that they can receive the Holy Eucharist. Nothing greater in the whole world than to receive the Eucharist, because that's God himself. Make sure that they keep your home orderly, starting with their own rooms. Make sure that they get out to do some type of sports. Physical activity is important because we have a soul, but we have a body. And then encourage your children to form the habit of good reading. See, among my best friends are my books. The book can be a great friend. And you can visit that friend anytime you want. And that good book can inform you, encourage you, enlighten you. Cultivate in your children the habit of good reading. Then also the cultivation of a good friend or two. We live in a world where the whole aspect of friendship is being lost often because of social media. But all of us should have a good friend or two. Jesus called his apostles friends. He called them friends at the Last Supper, and he wants you to be his friend, but he also wants you to have a good friend too. And a good friend is going to bring us closer to Jesus Christ, our best of friends. Then invite your children also to cultivate their talents, or maybe even a hobby. Jesus strongly reprimands the person with the one talent that made a hole and he buried it in the sand. All of us have talents. Your children have talents. Discover these talents and cultivate them. As the saying goes, if you do not use it, you will lose it. One of my baseball companions in high school, in the yearbook, he had a proverb. He said, better to wear out than to rust out. I like that. Better to wear out than to rust out. Better for a car to be consumed by being used than just to be sitting in the street and gathering rust. Father Otavio says there are two places to rest, the cemetery and heaven. In the meantime, let's pray for the grace to work hard cultivating the talents that we have. They might be musical, artistic, sports, intellectual, writing, many talents. My third intention would be that all of us will have a strong desire to go deeper in our prayer life. St. Teresa of Avila, the great doctor of prayer, says we can know if we're praying well, if we're living well. Jesus said it, that you know the tree by its fruits. A good tree will produce good fruit, and a bad tree will produce bad fruit. By their fruits you'll know them. Therefore, my friends, if we try to go deeper in our prayer life, we will be blossoming and flourishing in a life of virtue. Those virtues of faith, hope, charity, patience, purity, meekness, fortitude, mortification, all those wonderful fruits will blossom and flourish in our lives and influence other people. We should pray for the grace always, wherever we go, we would leave Christ present there. Every person we speak to, that we would leave that person closer to Christ. So my friends, those are my prayers for you this day. You pray for me and we'll pray for each other. As is always, there's a lot on our spiritual menu today. I'd like to talk about the saints that we celebrate today. Then we have, as always, two readings. One is taken from the book of Exodus, with Moses breaking the Ten Commandments. Then the responsorial psalm is, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. The Gospel from Matthew, Jesus presents to us a parable. It's a parable of the mustard seed and its abundant growth. So that's our biblical spiritual menu for the day. However, I think it's very opportune for us to spend some time talking about the saints that we celebrate today. And the saints we celebrate today are of great importance for us for the Blessed Mother, for Jesus Christ, for the Church, for grandparents, and for the world at large. Today, my friends, we celebrate in the church calendar the memorial of Saint Joachim and Saint Anne. Yes, Saint Joachim and Saint Anne. Here in Southern California, we've got the city of Santa Ana and the valley of San Joaquin. So in a certain sense, in Southern California, this should be very special for these places. We even have a freeway named the Santa Ana Freeway, in the San Joaquin Valley. Who are these two saints? Well, I really believe that they're underestimated, that we should have greater devotion for these two saints. I say that because these saints that lived more than 2,000 years ago, these two saints is a married couple, and they are the parents. They're the parents of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And they are the patron saints of grandparents. That's right, they're the patron saints of grandparents. The reason being is that they were the grandparents of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For that reason, the Church has named them to be the grandparents, the patron of grandparents throughout the world. The best of grandparents. So let's talk a little bit about them and see how we can apply this to our own lives. Saints Anne and Joachim. Now, Saint Anne and Joachim we don't find in the Bible. We find them mentioned in the Proto-Evangelium of Saint James, which is not part of the canon of the 73 books of the Bible. In the first century, they're also mentioned again in another source, the names of Saint Anne and Joachim, the parents of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So what is the legend about these two very important people who are the parents of Mary? Well, we know this, that they were of Jewish descent. They were a married couple. They are very pious, very prayerful. They're very holy. They love God very much. They practice and live their faith. And they had a certain amount of economic resources. They were not poor. And according to tradition, they were very generous with what they owned. According to tradition, of all that they owned, listen to this, they would give one-third of their income to the upkeep of the temple. The second third, they would give their resources to the poor people. And finally, they would keep a third for themselves. What generosity! What detachment! What love for God, the temple! What love for a neighbor, the poor people! They probably lived a very simple, frugal life because they gave so much to God and to others. And I think that's a model for us. We should try to give more to God and more to others, maybe think less about ourselves. Our lives should be more theocentric, more Christocentric than egocentric. If you like, we prefer theology over meology. However, they suffered a lot. They suffered quite a bit. Their suffering was a suffering that other biblical persons went through. Elizabeth, Hannah in the Old Testament, Sarah in the Old Testament. In other words, Elizabeth, Anna, as well as Sarah, they all suffered because they wanted to have children, but for some reason that was prevented. And eventually Sarah would have Isaac, God would give Hannah a child, and Elizabeth would have, of course, the great Saint John the Baptist. So Mary's parents, Joachim and Anne, had no children. They're getting up in years. So God decided to intervene and give them a child. But not only a child, but God gave these two holy, generous people the greatest of all children. They gave them Mary. Now, I really believe that these two saints should be honored more and more, because by honoring these saints, we're really honoring the Blessed Virgin Mary. Whatever we can do to promote devotion to Mary, we should do that. We should do that. Whatever we do to honor the Blessed Virgin Mary, we should do that. Because also in St. Anne, listen to this. In St. Anne, God carried out one of his greatest miracles. And the miracle that God carried out in the womb of St. Anne was the Immaculate Conception. Therefore, I believe that she's underestimated as well as Joachim in importance. So God will carry out one of the greatest miracles in the world in St. Anne, and the Immaculate Conception, beyond the shadow of a doubt, was an extraordinary miracle. Okay, what does this mean? So a conversation on St. Anne and St. Joachim is very important doctrinally, theologically, and in the context of the Church. To understand Mary's privilege of the Immaculate Conception, this means that we have to understand the doctrine of original sin. And it's this. As a result of what happened with Adam and Eve were given freedom, and they abused their freedom by committing what is called original sin. So, as a result of this original sin of Adam and Eve, this became what we might call a moral tsunami that has its repercussions until the end of the world. I repeat, this is a moral tsunami that has its repercussions to the end of the world. It's like you have a little pond and you throw a rock in the middle of the pond, and then you've got the concentric circles that emanate all the way to the shore. So this sin of Adam and Eve reverberated now until the end of the world. So because of the sin of Adam and Eve, all of us, whether we like it or not, all of us, whether we like it or not, we enter into this world with a stain that is original sin. So we are contaminated with this moral poison. You might call it that. We're contaminated with this moral poison, which contaminates our soul in the very moment of conception. That's right. And we receive that, as the Council of Trent says, not due to imitation, but by means of propagation. So one does not commit sin because he sees another person, imitates the bad example, but rather in the moment of our conception and propagation, we are contaminated with original sin and the effects of original sin. The effects of original sin, which means darkness of the intellect, weakness of the will, sicknesses, emotional disorders, social upheaval, and eventually death. Those are some of the effects of original sin, which we all experience. Now, Mary was unique in the sense that Mary never contracted original sin. And this was because of God's love for Mary, God's love for us, and God's great desire to save all people. So in a certain sense, Anne and Joachim are instrumental in the salvation of the world, in the redemption of humanity. Therefore, I think that they're underestimated. They're underestimated in their importance and their great humility. Some are like Saint Joseph, a very hidden saint, but great saints. And their sanctity all relates to their relationship to Jesus Christ, because Anne and Joachim are the grandparents of Jesus. So how did it happen? Okay, this is the way it happened. Saint Anne and Joachim, very generous, giving a third of their money to the poor, a third of their money to the church, and a third of their resources for themselves. God intervenes and gives them a child. That child is Mary. However, this is the means by which it came about. In the moment that Saint Anne conceived that little girl, Mary, in that moment, God intervened. God intervened. Divine intervention. And what did God do? God intervened by preserving Mary. Preserving Mary in the very moment, the first moment of her existence, in her conception. And there's another theological truth, that human life, which comes from God and the collaboration of man and woman provide the material, the matter, God infuses the soul. So in the very moment of Mary's conception, when she comes into the world, that very moment, in that very moment, God intervenes through His Holy Spirit. And here's the key word. Mary is preserved from the stain of original sin. There's the key word. Mary was preserved from the stain of original sin. Preservation. Preserved from the stain of original sin. The poet Wordsworth, an English poet that was not even a Catholic, believed this. And he penned this beautiful one-liner honoring Mary. William Wordsworth says that Mary is our tainted nature's solitary boast. I'll repeat, that's worthy of memorizing. Mary is our tainted nature's solitary boast. So in all of humanity, aside from Jesus himself, Mary was the only one that was preserved from the stain of original sin. And God chose as instruments Saint Joachim and Saint Anne. And the Church proclaimed this wonderful privilege of Mary's Immaculate Conception. This is the first of the four Marian dogmas, the Immaculate Conception, her divine maternity, her perpetual virginity, and her assumption into heaven. So chronologically, the first Marian dogma or privilege would be her Immaculate Conception. And the Church proclaimed this in the year 1854, Pope Pius IX. So in 1858, Mary appears 18 times to Saint Bernadette Soubirous in the Grotto of Lourdes. And finally, Mary reveals her identity to Saint Bernadette, says that she is the Immaculate Conception. This is 4 years after the proclamation of the dogma of the Immaculate Conception. 1830, Mary would appear to St. Catherine Laboureille in the convent in Paris. And she would invite St. Catherine Laboureille to have the medal called the Miraculous Medal, the Medal of the Immaculate Conception, to be coined. And it's become one of the most famous Marian sacramentals, the medal called the Miraculous Medal, but it's technically the Medal of the Immaculate Conception. So, Saint Anne and Saint Joachim are of great importance because the Immaculate Conception took place in the womb of Saint Anne. How we should honor, respect, venerate, and invoke this great saint. And women that are maybe struggling to have children, they can turn to Saint Anne. There's a very famous shrine in Canada named Saint Anne de Beaupré. You ever go into that church in Quebec, you see crutches, and because so many miracles have come about through the intercession of Saint Anne. Saint Anne de Beaupré. So Saint Anne, the Immaculate Conception took place in her womb. Now theologically, I think it's important that I intervene now and try to clear up some confusion that some people have between what is the Immaculate Conception of Mary and the Virginal Conception of Jesus. So the Immaculate Conception refers to Mary being conceived in the womb of Saint Anne. So in the moment of her conception, the fusion of the sperm and the egg, in that very moment, God intervened, the Holy Spirit, preserving Mary from that stain. Now that is not to be confused with what is called the virginal conception. So the Immaculate Conception refers to Mary in the womb of Saint Anne, whereas the virginal conception refers to Mary conceiving Jesus through the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit, which we read in Luke chapter 1. When Mary gave her fiat, she said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done to me according to thy word." The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. And as we read in John chapter 1, the prologue, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And we pray this in the Angelus. So it's important that we're able to differentiate theologically the Immaculate Conception and the Virginal Conception. Once again, the Immaculate Conception refers to Mary being conceived in the womb of Saint Anne, her mother, who we celebrate today. And then the Virginal Conception refers to Jesus being conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary. So why are these two saints so very important? Why are they so important? Really, it's related to Jesus. Because Saint Anne and Saint Joachim, as mentioned, were the parents of Mary, but they would be the grandparents of Jesus. St. Thomas Aquinas, the angelic doctor, comments on this. And he says that if Mary were not conceived without original sin, then when Jesus came into the world, his human nature would be tainted with sin. His divine nature, no. And St. Thomas Aquinas, the greatest theologian in the Catholic Church, the angelic doctor, says that this would be an abomination. This would be abominable to think that Jesus, his double nature, his human nature would be tainted with sin and his divine nature not. So for Jesus to come into the world in the most perfect fashion, would have to come through the most pure vessel that God chose. Now, Jesus could have descended from heaven like rain, like dew coming down from heaven. But God didn't want it that way. God wanted Jesus to become like us in all things except sin, and he wanted him to have a human mother, that is Mary, and human grandparents, and that would be Anne and Joachim. Anne and Joachim. So every year, my friends, we celebrate the Immaculate Conception December 8th every year. So in a certain sense, indirectly, we're really celebrating Anne and Joachim because they are the ones that were instrumental in this great privilege. In December 8th, the Immaculate Conception, Pope Francis called this a year of St. Joseph. We want to enter St. Joseph into the scene also, honoring good St. Joseph. So all this year up until December 8th, we celebrate the year of St. Joseph. Pray and honor St. Joseph in a special way. Now, if December 8th is Immaculate Conception, I do some theological gymnastics now, or mathematics. When do you think we celebrate Mary's birthday? So December 8th is Mary's coming into existence through the Immaculate Conception. What about her birthday? Well, you count 9 months. January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, and the ninth month, September. So September 8th, my friends, we celebrate the birthday of Mary. You see the connection there? Mary conceived in the womb of her mother. December 8th, you count 9 months, and then we have September 8th, which is the day in which you celebrate Mary's birthday. Mary's birthday. So Saint Anne and Joachim are of great importance in the life of Mary, the life of Jesus, the life of the church, and for us too. What more do we know about them? Well, Jesus says this. Jesus says that we know the tree. We know the tree by its fruits. Another saying goes on to say, the apple does not fall far from the tree. Which means that Mary, being the perfect daughter, she had very, very good and holy parents. There's a lot that we can learn from this. Parents, you have children. These children are gifts given to you from God. You're called to raise these children to have fear of the Lord and love of God. You're called to present these children to God, your children to baptize them. You as parents, you're called to educate your children in all aspects. But especially you're called to educate your children morally and spiritually. For bring them up in the fear of the Lord and the love of God. Now, what would have been the life of Mary having the parents, Anne and Joachim? We have no biblical resources for this, but we know that they would have given Mary the best. Mary would have been the best of all daughters. Mary, being conceived without original sin, she did not suffer concupiscence, those capital sins of lust and gluttony and laziness and greed and anger and envy and pride. Mary did not have those. That's called concupiscence. In Latin, fomi peccati. This is called concupiscence. Mary didn't have this tendency toward evil, this tug of war that we have in our nature that pulls us often in the wrong direction. If we don't have recourse to grace, then we capitulate and we fall into sin. So Mary was a perfect daughter. According to tradition, when we celebrate this feast day, November 21st, we celebrate the presentation. We celebrate the presentation of Jesus in the temple 40 days after he was born on February 2nd, sometimes called Candlemas, because Jesus is presented to Simeon, who says that he is a light for all the people. That's the presentation of the Lord. And Simeon says that Jesus will be a sign of contradiction, and a sword of sorrow will pierce the heart of Mary, so the thoughts of many will be revealed. But we celebrate also the presentation of Mary in the temple. This we celebrate November 21st, close to Thanksgiving. Now, what is the church taught with respect to the presentation of Mary in the temple? It would be the following. Joachim and Anne, the mother and father of Mary, being aware of the special gift of their daughter, had this interior insight to understand that their daughter was a very special gift from God. That the daughter was going to have a special mission. Did Joachim and Anne understand in detail the special mission of Mary? Probably not. But they recognized that Mary was a special gift from God, that God was going to take her. And God was going to take her because of her great love, her openness to God, to carry out one of the most sublime missions in the history of the world. That Mary would be responsible for the incarnation. That God the Father would send his Son into the world through the vessel, through the instrument, the most pure, perfect vessel, which is Mary. The Blessed Virgin Mary. So the presentation would be that they took Mary as a little child to the temple. And they left her in the temple when she was maybe 4 years old, very young. And I think there's a lot in this. That parents have to recognize that their children, they were the secondary cause by which their children came into the world. I say secondary cause because the primary cause of their children coming into the world is from God Himself. When there is a conception, man and woman collaborate physically. But it's God that causes the conception of that individual. So I think we can learn in this that parents should have a great love for their children, but a greater love for God. And not to be overly attached to their children, especially, my friends, when children, they become young adults, they feel that interior call which God is calling them to a vocation. Vocation means calling. God is calling them to a vocation, to the priesthood or the religious life. That the parents should not prevent or impede or put obstacles in this call. Which unfortunately is sometimes the case, as was in the case of Saint Alphonse Liguori. And Saint Alphonse Liguori will eventually write many books. One was on religious life, in which Saint Alphonse says that parents can be the best friends of their children until their child decides to become a priest or religious. then they can become the worst enemies. So I think we can glean from this the fact that Anne and Joachim, they surrendered, they gave up their child to the temple, even at a very young age. We don't know exactly what age, but some say about 4 years of age, very young. We see that Anne and Joachim, they loved Mary very much, but they loved God and they wanted to do God's will. Let us pray, my friends, that we would have a proper priority, hierarchy of values in our spiritual life. Let us pray, my friends, that we'd always place God at the top of our list of priorities. So we'd live out what Jesus calls the greatest of all commandments. What is the greatest of all commandments? To love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. I repeat, that we would love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And that we love our neighbor as we love ourselves. That, I think, we learned from St. Anne and St. Joachim. They surrendered Mary to God. God gave Anne and Joachim Mary, and Anne and Joachim gave Mary back to God. And that's really what we should be doing. God gives us gifts. We should be giving those gifts back to God. God will multiply our generosity 100-fold. So Mary's in the temple, presented by Anne, Saint Joachim and Saint Anne. What did Mary do in the temple? Well, first and foremost, Mary prayed. She already had a prayer life at 4 years of age. But Mary was taught also to pray, go even deeper in her prayer life. I think also we can presume that Mary was taught how to read. Most women back then were not literate. Mary would have learned how to read. And by reading, Mary would have learned to read the Psalms. I'm giving a course now on the Psalms in the parish. And Mary, by learning the Psalms, would pray the Psalms. Given that Mary's memory was perfect, I think we can presume that Mary would have memorized many of the Psalms. In the temple, Mary would have prayed the Psalms by herself, but also Mary would have prayed the Psalms liturgically. When there were the major feast days in the Temple of Jerusalem, Feast Day of Tabernacles, the Feast Day of the Passover, Feast Day of Pentecost, the major liturgical celebrations of the Jewish people, Mary would have been involved in these feast days and participated and prayed and unite her prayers to the high priest. So Mary was being prepared for her sublime mission in the temple from a young age. We don't really know the exact age in which the Archangel Gabriel appears to Mary, but many surmise it was probably when Mary was in her mid-teens, 15, 16 years of age. Now, did Anne and Joachim visit the temple to visit Mary? Probably. on those major feast days, they would have traveled to their home to visit the temple and visit her mother, their daughter Mary, of course. And Mary had great love for her parents. Mary had great love for her parents. Read Sirach chapter 3. So there's another message that St. Joachim and St. Anne had great love for Mary. But Mary likewise, she also had great love for God, but also had great love for her parents. And this has to be instilled in children today more than ever. The children and teenagers, they should pray for their parents. They should obey their parents. They should respect their parents. They should love their parents. They should support their parents. And as we read in Sirach chapter 3, those who love their parents will have a long life in the land of the living. And Sirach chapter 3 says, when your parents are elderly, not to abandon them in their old age and in their sickness and when they become feeble, not to abandon them. Not to abandon them. Not to abandon them. But quite the contrary, to really support them to the very maximum. So my friends, in Jesus and Mary, we'd have to say this also, that St. Anne and St. Joachim are not only the loving parents of Mary, Mary who is the mother of God, the mother of the church, the mother of all of us, the masterpiece of creation, as St. Louis de Montfort points out, the daughter of God the Father, the mother of God the Son, the mystical spouse of the Holy Spirit. But St. Anne and St. Joachim, they being the grandparents of Jesus, they being the grandparents of Jesus, St. Anne and St. Joachim are the patron of grandparents. And some of you on this Perseverance family, that we have a family, some of you are already grandmothers and grandfathers. Some of you are already grandparents. My mother has 39 grandchildren. Big family. The grandparents today, now more than ever, have a very important role and function in society as well as in the family, because very often the mother and the father, because of the economic situation, is forced to go out and work. In that case, the grandmother, the grandfather have a very important role in the formation of character, the education of their grandchildren. The formation of the character of their grandchildren, but especially grandparents can be instrumental in teaching their grandchildren how to pray, how to get to know God, introducing their grandchildren to the Bible, helping their grandchildren to love God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. So grandparents today have a very, very important role in the formation of their grandchildren. So that being the case, let's turn to Saint Anne and Saint Joachim. And one of you, Julie, just said, my granddaughter at 2.5 sings the Hail Mary. That's great. That's probably because of Julie. And many of you can teach your grandchildren to pray. Keep up the good work. So let's turn to Saint Anne and Saint Joachim and pray for them, that they would pray and bless grandparents. The grandparents will raise up their grandchildren in the fear of the Lord, but especially in the love of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So we've had a wonderful conversation today in honor of the grandparents of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Saint Joachim and Saint Anne. So I'll give you my priestly blessing. The Lord be with you. Through the intercession of Saint Joachim and Saint Anne, and Mary, the Immaculate Conception, may God bless you in a very special way today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
And thou hast probed my heart and mind. Upon me thou hast laid thy hand. O Lord, how could I understand?
This is Kevin O'Brien of EWTN's Theater of the Word. I'm excited also to teach middle school and high school literature, speech, and drama with homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. Your student can meet with me online for a live, interactive class. Whether you take apologetics with John Martinoni or grade school with Jackie De La Viaga or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, online Catholic learning for your homeschooling family is available for you.